بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about the treatment of anxiety through the belief in Allah's decree, and we are learning in these classes about Allah's knowledge, that is to say, Allah knows everything in the heavens and in the earth and in the unseen, and the title of the class is Maybe It Is For The Best. All praise to Allah. We are learning about the practical application of the belief in the unlimited knowledge of Allah. Last week we learned the prayer of guidance, As-Salatul Istikhara, which is a dua to Allah to choose for us the best choice regarding the future events. Inshallah, today we will learn a Quranic rule related to the fact that Allah knows and the man knows not. This Quranic rule is very beneficial. Let us learn the rule and the example from the Holy Quran and learn the benefits. The rule is, you may dislike a thing which is good for you, and you may like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you don't know. In this rule, Allah is sending to us a message based on the fact that Allah knows and you don't know. According to this rule, you don't know, so long you don't know, so you may evaluate the things or the events of your life in a wrong way. That is to say, you may like a thing which is in reality is harmful for you, and also you may dislike a thing which is in reality very beneficial for you. So in conclusion, don't evaluate the events according to your limited knowledge, but be content with all that Allah planned for you. Today, inshallah, we will learn from Surah Al-Kahf, Surah number 18, the King. We will learn the practical examples of this rule through the story of Prophet Musa with the pious man. In this story, there are three events which Prophet Musa evaluated them according to his limited knowledge, so his three evaluations were wrong. Let us learn these three events and learn the message of these verses of the Holy Quran. We will recite now, inshallah, from Surah Al-Kahf, Surah number 18. We will recite from verses 65 to verse 82. Actually, this is a very beneficial rule, inshallah. Most of the Muslims, they know it, but they don't know its depth. You know, but they know the story. Most of the Muslims, bismillah, from 82. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ارحمكم الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمحق حقبا. فلما بلغ مجمع بينهما نسيا حوتهما فاتخذ سبيله في البحر سربا. فلما جاوزا قال لفتاه آتنا غداءنا لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا. قال ذلك ما كنا نبغ فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا فوجدا عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا قال إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا فانطلقا حتى إذا لقيا غلاما فقتله قال أقتلت نفسا ذكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا فانطلقا حتى إذا آتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقام قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا وأما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين فخشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلته عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستع عليه صبرا
And mention when Moses said to his boy servant, I will not cease traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas or continue for a long period. But when they reached the junction between them, they forgot their fish, and it took its course into the sea, slipping away. And when they had passed beyond it, Moses said to his boy servant, Bring us our morning meal. We have certainly suffered in this, our journey, much fatigue. He said, Did you see when we retired to the rock? Indeed, I forgot their fish, and none made me forget it except the Shaitan, that I should mention it, and it took its course into the sea amazingly. Moses said, That is what we were seeking. So they returned following their footsteps. And they found a servant from among our servants, Al-Kudr, to whom we had given mercy from us and had taught him from us a certain knowledge. Moses said to him, May I follow you on the condition that you teach me from what you have been taught of sound judgment? He said, Indeed, with me you will never be able to have patience. And how can you have patience for what you do not encompass in knowledge? Moses said, You will find me if Allah wills patient, and I will not disobey you in any order. He said, Then if you follow me, do not ask me about anything until I make to you about it a mention or an explanation. So they set out until when they had embarked on the ship, he Khidr tore it open. Moses said, Have you torn it open to drown its people? You have certainly done a grave thing. Al-Kudr said, Did not say that with me that we would never be able to have patience? Moses said, Do not blame me for what I forgot, and do not overwhelm me and my matter with difficulty. So they set out until when they met a boy, Khidr killed him. Moses said, Have you killed a pure soul for other than killing a soul? "You have certainly done a deplorable thing." And the Kedar said, "Did I not tell you that with me you would never be able to have patience?" Moses said, "If I should ask you about anything after this, then do not keep me as a companion. You would have obtained from me an excuse." So they set out until when they came to a people of a town, they asked its people for food, but they refused to offer them hospitality. And they found there a wall about to collapse. So he could have restored it. Moses said, "If you wished, you could have taken for it a payment." Now Kedar said, "This is the parting between me and you. I will inform you of the interpretation of what of that about which you cannot have patience. As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working at sea, so I intended to cause defect in it, as there was after them a king who seized every good ship by force. And as for the boy, his parents were believers, and we feared that he would overburden them with transgression and disbelief. So we intended that their Lord should substitute for them one better than him in purity and near to mercy. And as for the wall, it belonged to the two orphan boys in the city, and there was beneath it a treasure for them, and their father had been righteous. So your Lord intended that they reach maturity and extract their treasure as a measure from your Lord, and I did it not from my own accord. This is the interpretation of that which you could not have patience."
Okay, thank you. So actually now, inshallah, we will start to learn the meaning of these verses of the Holy Quran, so that inshallah we will learn about the rule that you may dislike a thing and it is good for you, and you may like a thing and it is bad for you. Allah knows and we don't know. Actually, Ubay ibn Ka'b, one of the Prophet's companions, said that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said that Prophet Musa was making a speech to the children of Israel when he was asked which person had been endowed with the most knowledge. Prophet Musa replied that he himself was that person. Allah took issue with him for not having attributed knowledge to Allah. So Allah sent him a message saying that there was a pious man who had been given greater knowledge than you, Musa. So Prophet Musa asked Allah to tell him how to meet that pious man, and Allah clarified to him the way to meet that pious man. On meeting him, Prophet Musa put his request and made it clear that he seeks proper knowledge from the pious man. So he wants to accompany him and follow him. The pious man knew the difficulties ahead, as Allah granted him a part of the divine knowledge. So the pious man said to Musa that it will be difficult for him to be patient with something which he can't fully comprehend. But Prophet Musa said, if Allah wills that Prophet Musa will be patient and he will not disobey anything the pious man stated. So they Musa and the man agreed that number one, Prophet Musa must remain patient. Number two, he should not question any action the pious man takes until the pious man himself reveals its reality to Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa accepted the condition, and both of them started the trip. Soon afterwards, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, comes the first scene of the trip. The first event, they both proceeded along the sea coast till a ship passed by. They requested the crew to let them go on board. The crew recognized Al-Khidr, the pious man, and allowed them to go on board free of charge. While the ship is in the middle of the sea, Al-Khidr, the pious man, made a hole in the ship, an action that exposes the ship to be flooded and all the passengers to the risk of being drowned. Confronted with such evil, harmful action, Prophet Musa simply forgot the conversation that he had and forgot his promise not to ask questions. So Al-Khidr tolerated this with patience, and he gently reminded Prophet Musa of what he said earlier. Did I not say that you would not be able to have patience with me? Prophet Musa now regretted his overreaction, saying that he completely forgot. He requested the man to accept his apology and to forgive him. The pious man accepted his apology, and the two proceeded further. When they got out of the ship, they arrived at a village, and they saw some young boys playing. The pious man stopped at one boy in particular and killed him. This is a case of murder of a young boy, innocent even under age. That is to say, he couldn't be held accountable for any crime. This was too much for Prophet Musa to tolerate patiently. Despite all the promises he had given not to question anything. So Prophet Musa said to Al-Khidr, you had killed an innocent boy without provocation or justification. This is an evil deed. Again, the pious man reminded Prophet Musa and warned him that he was expecting this impatient behavior from him. But Prophet Musa, actually, he reflected, knowing that he has broken his promises twice. So he said, if ever I question you again, don't keep me in your company. Regarding the third event, it was that the two were hungry, and they find themselves in a town whose people were not kind. They receive no guests and give nothing to the poor or hungry. Yet he found a wall there about to fall down, so he rebuilt the wall for nothing. So Prophet Musa was very surprised from this action. Why should a stranger exert so much effort in rebuilding a wall in a town where they were denied even a little food? He should have at least demanded some money for his labors, and they could have bought some food to eat. So impatient and upset, Prophet Musa addressed the pious man, if you had wished, you could have some compensation for rebuilding the wall. This comment signaled the end of this unlikely companionship. Prophet Musa no longer had any excuse to offer for his impatient attitude, which caused him not to fulfill his promise to keep silent and not to question the actions of the Al-Khidr. So the pious man clarified to Prophet Musa that this is the end, and he will explain to him the real meaning of these events. Now let us analyze this story and learn the messages which Allah is sending to us in this story. Actually, Prophet Musa, as well as everyone following the story, have been subjected to a series of surprises with no indication as to their main purpose. The pious man in these events represents Allah's decree, which is always not clear and unexplained for us, as it doesn't attach results to their immediate causes. Actually, this is a very important fact for every one of us to learn and to believe in before explaining these three events. We must believe that Allah's decree for us is not always clear or explained, because Allah's decree doesn't attach results to their immediate causes. Sometimes the results are different from the causes, so it is sometimes not explained for us. In this story, the pious man represents Allah's decree. And actually, regarding Allah's decree, as we mentioned the rule which we are learning today, it is in Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 216. We will recite it now so that we will follow with the story according to that rule. Rahman al-Rahim. Wa asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. Wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun.
Perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you, and perhaps you love a thing and it is bad for you, and Allah knows best while you know not.
Actually, sister, the meaning of this Quranic rule is that it is Allah's knowledge, the unlimited, which is behind the events of our life, which we can't evaluate its reality as we have no knowledge of the unseen. Let us learn the reality behind these three events. Regarding the ship, Al-Khidr, the pious man representing Allah's decree said, the small damage in the ship suffered was enough to save it for its people. As the tyrant king always seized every good ship, the pious man made the small damage to the ship to save it for the poor owners, as the king will not seize a damaged ship. Accordingly, the small damage leads to saving the ship. Accordingly, damaging the ship was a good and kind action. This is what we want to believe in. Sometimes we evaluate the events that it is bad for us. But after time, when we have time, and when Allah make for us some clarification regarding what happened, we will again change our point of view and will appreciate the harm which we had or what we don't like, because it turned to be good for us, as it is clear in the first event that the damage of the ship was good and kind action, because the king will not seize a damaged ship. As for the young boy, the second event, Allah revealed his wicked nature to Al-Khidr. That boy was a disbeliever. Had he lived, he would have caused his parents too much trouble. His parents were true believers. So if that boy was to grow up, he might have led them to follow him in his wickedness. Hence, Allah directed his pious servant Al-Khidr to kill the boy in order to give the pious parents another boy who would be better and more kind to his parents. It was actually a good deed for saving these believers' parents by killing the boy who was a disbeliever. So again, sisters, killing the boy was a good action. Killing the boy was beneficial for his parents, because, you know, that boy was supposed to be a cause of a lot of troubles for the parents, and maybe because of him, you know, they will try to make him happy in life, so they may do bad things in their life. Many of the parents, when the kids pressurize them with their needs, many of the parents sometimes they do illegal jobs. Why? When you ask the father why you are doing illegal jobs, he will say, because my kids, they need a lot of money. And through the legal or the halal job, I can't have what they are looking for. So sometimes for their sake, you know, I had to do some illegal work in order to please my kids and to make them happy. And because Allah, he knew that boy was not a good boy, and he can cause troubles for his parents, the believers one. So out of his knowledge and his wisdom, it was the killing of the boy to save the belief and the faith of their parents, and Allah was planning to replace them with a good and more pious regarding the third event, which is the wall which is Al-Khidr labored to rebuild, asking no payment for it despite the bad behavior from the town people, this wall had a treasure underneath. This treasure belonged to two young orphans in the town. Had the wall left to fall down, the treasure would have come visible and the two boys would not have been able to claim it. So considering their weakness, and since their father was a pious and righteous man, Allah allowed those two orphans to benefit that is to say, Allah willed to give them the time necessary to grow up and to dig up their treasure when they are in the position to keep it. So rebuilding the wall was a good and beneficial action for the sake of these two orphans to grow up and to be able to take their treasure. Accordingly, these three events which were evaluated in a wrong way by Prophet Musa and by all of us, in reality they were good actually deeds and they were beneficial. So after clarifying the hidden reasons for his action, Al-Khidr clarified that he has no share in these events. It is all Allah's will that dictated all his actions. It was all by Allah's command, who had revealed to him the necessary knowledge in such cases and showed him what to do. So all the actions of Al-Khidr, that is to say Allah's decree, which seemed evil and unaccepted in the first instance, now they appear to be beneficial and wise. It is when we are allowed to know the hidden reasons for our life events that we realize the following. Number one, all Allah's decree is good for the believer. And I will clarify this in details. Okay. Number two, you may hate something and it is good for you because you don't know and Allah knows. Actually, regarding the fact that all Allah's decree is good for the believer, this is because in our life the believer is either, or every one of us in life is either living a situation of a disaster or a situation of ease. During the disaster, the believer is having patience, and patience is good because you are rewarded for patience with unlimited reward. And if you are living ease, the believer will be grateful to Allah, and this is also a good action, because when you are grateful to Allah and when you are thankful to Allah all the time, you will be also rewarded. So the believer is rewarded all the time. Accordingly, all Allah's decree is good for the believer. So what are the lessons which every one of us is in need to learn from this story? Number one, being content with Allah's decree. Being content with Allah's decree. How? Through the belief that you never know when the disasters in your life could actually be a source of good for you. You don't know. You never know. So always believe that there is a possibility of good in every hardship. That is to say, keep your spirit away from the pressure and damage of the hardship. So the question is, how can I keep my spirit away from the pressure and damage of the hardship? You can keep it away by keeping your spirit living in the belief that there may be a good in that hardship. There may be a good in every hardship. Always remember that there are many disasters in our life which they turn to be good for us. For example, the disaster of illness. Regarding the disaster of illness, it is always the way to prayer and to dua to Allah and to obedience to Allah. Always remember that it is the hardships that make you closer to Allah and more sincere in your dua and in your prayers. And actually, sisters, if every one of us tries to remember how you become closer to Allah, how you become obedient to Allah, it is all with the hardships.
SubhanAllah. So you said there are many disasters in our lives that lead to what?
That lead to make you closer to Allah, make you closer to Allah and more sincere. That help us to become closer to Allah and to become more sincere in your dua and in your prayer. And actually, sisters, for me personally, it was the sudden death of my parents that actually changed all my way of life 180 degrees. And I decided that I must love Allah because Allah is always alive. I don't want to love someone who died. because you know this caused for me a lot of psychological instability, mm-hmm. to put all my love in someone and then I suddenly lost, you know, my two parents. So I was in a very confusing situation. It was very hard. So at that time I said to myself, Mona, forget about loving the human beings, because they all die, and they die suddenly, unexpected. So let me love Allah, because Allah never dies. So actually since then I changed my way of life. Actually since one of us is trying to remember some events in her life, that through these events she became closer to Allah, more obedient to Allah, she started to love Allah, she started to actually to have sincerity with Allah. It is all with the hardships. And in our life there are a lot of hardships. Okay, so let us always appreciate the hardships or evaluate the hardships correctly, that so long the hardship will make me to be more obedient to Allah, to make me a pious servant to Allah, to make me to have the sincerity with Allah, to make me to live this worldly life according to the rules of Allah. So, oh Allah, I am very grateful for all what you are planning for me in my life, and that disaster it turned to be actually a blessing for me. So this is number one regarding being content with Allah's decree. The second lesson from this story is that your heart should be always satisfied with Allah's choice. Your heart should be always satisfied with Allah's choice. Your heart can be always satisfied with Allah's choice, sister. You can help yourself by repeating the following three sentences in the morning and in the evening. The first sentence is that I am content with Allah as my Lord. I am content with Allah as my Lord. The second sentence. I'm content. I am content with Islam. I am content with Islam as my religion. The second sentence, I am content with Islam as my faith. As my faith. I am content with Islam as my faith. And the third sentence is that I am content with Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, as my messenger. I am content with Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, as my messenger. So if you repeated these three sentences in the morning and in the evening, okay, and after the call for prayer, Allah will reward you the forgiveness of your sins. Again, we will repeat these three sentences. I am content with Allah as my Lord, and I am content with Islam as my faith, and I am content with Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, as my messenger. If you repeat these three sentences in the evening and in the morning, believing in their meanings, inshallah, Allah will reward you and will forgive you your sins. Actually, what is the relation between believing Allah's decree and these three sentences? The relation is that when you believe and when you say, I am content with Allah as my Lord, this means that you are content with Allah's decree, the good and the bad. Now, we will learn, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, about the third lesson, and is that in this story there was a very important fact in the three events which we need to reflect on. Number one, the owners of the ship were kind people, that is to say good quality people. Number two, the parents of the wicked boy were true believers, that is to say good quality people. But in spite of their good quality, they faced great hardship according to human evaluation through Allah's decree. While the people of the town who were not kind or helpful, they received a blessing according to human evaluation. So in conclusion, our evaluation is always or mostly not the correct one. because we know not. Okay, as humans with no knowledge regarding the unseen, we are not supposed to evaluate our life events. Instead, we must be content with all Allah's decree, remembering that Allah knows and we know not. The message of this Quranic rule, you may dislike a thing which is good for you, and you may like a thing which is bad for you, is that be sure that there is a wisdom behind your illness. There is a wisdom behind the loss of the job. There is a wisdom behind the loss of your child. There is a wisdom behind being not married. There is a wisdom behind being lonely. For all of these hardships, remember the above Quranic rule and be patient and be content and have hope in Allah's mercy that there is inshallah good in all your decree, inshallah. Next week, we will continue to learn how to treat the anxiety through the believing in Allah's decree. And let us, inshallah, now make the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.